You're listening to a podcast from 702.
But for now, we are talking fitness. The fitness industry, it's become a thing, you know. We've seen many different things over the years. I can remember having the TV on whilst I was getting ready for school and listening and watching while I got ready for school, the leg warmers, the body suits and the stockings in Body Beat. Remember that? Remember that show? Be the Body Beat Boys. I mean, there was a time when this is how people got their fitness on. And you've seen all the gadgets over time. Things like what the Thighmaster. There's that rolling pin that you that helps you tighten your abs. Over the years, it's just gone through some interesting changes. And there are more, in fact, heading our way precisely due to the epidemic and the lockdown and a change in lifestyle. So we've invited Devlin Brown, who watches these things. He's the active health writer for a number of publications. And he's been looking at the future of the fitness industry and the trends that have firmly entrenched themselves as a result of the pandemic and the lockdown, and still balancing that with the need to stay fit. I must say, I'm finding that I sit more than ever before, which can be such a source of frustration. I wonder how active you are. Have you continued to be active, or have you experienced some serious challenges in maintaining your fitness because of the lockdown and the pandemic? And that's a concern personally that I feel is something to rectify, to correct. But there are certain things in the marketplace and the fitness industry that hopefully will bring about a solution. Devlin, thank you so much. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Azania. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, great to chat to you. I don't know about you, but it does take a while to kind of find your feet in this new way, in this new world order way of doing things. And really,
absolutely.
Yeah. So I enjoyed your look at where the fitness industry has been and where it's going. And there have been some interesting fitness trends and fads over the years. But let's maybe look or take a look into the past so that we can have a fuller appreciation of how far we've come, in fact, because our ancestors didn't need a gym. They didn't need an exercise regime. Our lifestyles were active enough, you know.
No, absolutely. And, you know, what is exercise? Zania, it's moving your body through space, essentially, if you're going to bring it down to its core. And that's how people moved. And, you know, it was only with the advent of physical culture, you know, which was a big movement that was, you know, started in Europe and moved across to the United States, that this focus on fitness emerged. And that was because of what they called at the time affluence diseases or lifestyle diseases, you know, what we call, you know, what we'd call it in 2021. Mm-hmm. And that's when there was this focus on physical education at school and nutrition. And, you know, that was a turning point where suddenly the discussion went from, look, I don't need to just be able to move around and, you know, chop down my tree or, you know, go plow the fields. Because I'm spending my day sitting at the office, I now need to focus on fitness as an activity. And I think that was a turning point.
And hence we've seen a burgeoning industry over the years. I mean, it's a massive industry.
For sure. I mean, you mentioned Body Beat, and thank you for that. I'll have that earworm now for the rest of the day.
Do you remember that jingle?
Big boy. Absolutely. I think that's, you know, I'm terrified to admit this on radio with thousands, hundreds of thousands of people listening, but, you know, I think that's where the seed was born.
Yeah.
You know, you had someone like Jack Lalanne. He was an American, and, you know, he was the first to go onto the TV screens and bring fitness into the homes of Americans. You mentioned Jane Fonda. Mm. The one that I then remember was Billy Blanks. I mean, who can forget that?
You had your VHS tape. Oh, yes.
You'd stick the tape in, and he'd tell you to jab, cross, uppercut, hook. And it was amazing. There you had someone on your TV screen in your lounge barking instructions. And, you know, and for me, what's so amazing is that this feels like it was yesterday to some of us. But who would have thought that within a few short years we'd have a small device named after a fruit that would have a robot made out of pixels that watches you and responds to you in real time and gives you exercise cues? I mean, that's the stuff of science fiction, and Apple have just done it with the Fitness Ally app.
So tell me more about Ally. So what is it? A virtual animated fitness instructor?
Absolutely. It's the app is called Fitness Ally, and the, you know, the superstar of this app is a virtual trainer called Ali.
Mm.
And she watches you through your phone's camera and corrects your form. So,
oh, no, no, you know, no. My phone is watching me.
It's watching you and instructing you how to exercise, Zanya. But don't worry, the app's developers say on the website that she's not judgmental. She's very forgiving, and she lovingly pushes you on, you know. So whether that excites you or not, I certainly think these guys have proven that we have now entered, you know, the dark age of artificial intelligence and machine learning.
So is this one way that AI is disrupting the fitness industry? What happens to the trainers?
Well, look, absolutely. Interestingly, it was something that I watch every year. The American College of Sports Medicine do predictions every year. So what they do is they go to trainers on every continent and they do, you know, quite an in-depth survey, like, you know, to predict what the trends are going to be. And since about 2012, wearable tech, you know, has been climbing the ladder. And last year, wearable tech was number one, you know, the number one trend. And, you know, everyone thought it was going to be there to stay until, you know, the world went into a pandemic.
Mm.
Okay, so where I'm going with this is that virtual training has only seen such a rapid rise because of this pandemic. So it allows you to go through something as if you were in a group class, let's say the Virgin Active or Planet Fitness,
yeah.
But you can do it at your own time precisely because, let's be honest, if you get tired, you can just switch her off. Go away. Well, yeah, I've had enough. And it's quite difficult to do that with your personal trainer. But look, I must you know, make my views clear. I certainly don't think any app will ever replace warm-blooded trainers, you know, in any way.
I wonder, and I want to put it out there, if anyone has tried virtual training, did it feel the same? Was it better? In fact, you're in your own space. You don't have to worry because, you know, going to the gym, there's certain things about it that can put people off.
Absolutely.
So perhaps the new way of doing things of training at home and so on is seeing an increase in the numbers of people who are working out because you get to do it in the privacy of your own homes. But if we compare the experience of working out away from the gym and the experience of working out at gym, where are you finding most benefits? Let us know. But what's the difference between virtual training and online training, Devlin?
Sure. Online training is where you have a trainer who connects to you via, you know, a platform of her choice or his choice, and they can stream that with groups. This trainer then watches you through the computer webcam or the phone camera and then trains you. So you're interacting with a human and other people in real time. And for me personally, that's still superior by quite some distance to virtual training.
Mm-hmm.
Because despite the disclaimers and the fine print on the Fitness Ally app, a real human will be able to tell the look on your face, see if you're flushed, pick up danger signs, pick up warning signs, you know, because at the end of the day, you exercise for your health, not to hurt yourself or exacerbate an underlying injury or
yes,
some sort of condition. Yeah.
Yes. And yeah, a lot of them, I mean, I did a yoga class the other day, an online class with a group of other people. You know, it's on this meditation app. I think 140 of us were there. And there was this disclaimer, you know, to say that be careful of injuries, yoga, blah, blah, blah. And you just click accept and then you're in the class. So a very interesting space. I want to read out what Maureen has said. She says, wow, Devlin, you make it sound so easy. I'm going to get fit now. With the way things are at the moment, how else is our lives made easier? And
absolutely.
Especially when you think of the direction in which technology is going. What are these innovators thinking?
Sorry to interrupt you there. You speak about the article, and that's what I had fun at the beginning. You know,
yeah.
I envisioned this world where someone is lying in their bed and they, you know, attach their smartwatch and these little nanobots go into their bloodstream and the smart TV activates and a hologram jumps out and there's your avatar saying, right, let's go. You know, and you can program her to be a CrossFitter or a cyclist and off she goes and exercises, all the while these nanobots dispense, you know, the benefits of exercise to your body, and it's far-fetched, right? But the point of it was, as a thought experiment, how far can we imagine the benefits or the augmentation that tech can provide for fitness.
So we can push it quite far with this nanotechnology.
No, absolutely. I mean, Forbes last year made some terrifying predictions. They predicted things such as exoskeletons. This is smart clothing that we put on that would enable us to run faster, jump higher, lift more weights.
Mm-hmm.
They've predicted 3D printing of human tissue. We can't forget about Elon Musk. You know, South Africans, we, you know, some of us feel an affinity towards him, I suppose, because of his origins. He's made a promise of an AI human kind of hybrid. I mean, for me, that's probably the most terrifying of the lot. And then, of course, smart prosthetic limbs that have intelligence. You know, so the research and development is happening, and it's happening at a rapid pace, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And for someone like me who loves the fundamentals and the basics of exercise, I find it to be quite terrifying.
Yes, yes. Oh, that is. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it. So maybe we should come back to what is here now.
Yeah, no, look. What is here now? Online training. Imagine everything's closed. If we go down, if we go back to level four, level five, online training is absolutely. It's fantastic. You know, it was. I think it was 26 or something in the list last year.
Mm.
It skyrocketed to number one.
Wow.
And you're on that list. To number one. It overtook wearable tech.
Yeah.
Also on that list, body weight training. Why? Because the gyms are closed. Mm-hmm. Also on that list, outdoor training, mm-hmm. free weight training. And for me, that's a positive. You know, these fundamental, basic, functional exercise modalities coming back to the fore because of the pandemic. And for me, that would be a positive outcome.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So that's what it looks like. So what about things like heats and other types? You said weight training, there's body weight training.
Yes. And
then are there others that we're starting to see also emerge in terms of what the
yes.
preference is?
Definitely. Look, high intensity interval training is always there in the top 10. You know, it just moves year to year.
Mm-hmm.
But a very interesting one is exercise as medicine. And this, as I said, you know, comes from you know, Asia, North America, South America, Africa. Many trainers are saying that they're finding that at least some primary health practitioners are sending their clients to bios or other fitness professionals to include movement in their treatments. And I think that's very interesting because that's, you know, really an effect of, I mean, if we think about the pandemic, it's really made us all take a step back and think about our health and our wellness.
Yeah.
You know, so that's quite positive. Number nine on the list is specialized exercise programs for the elderly.
Mm.
That was quite interesting as well. That wasn't in the top 10 for quite a few years.
And now it's made its way. Right. But I do find that this idea of the virtual world, training virtually, seems to yes. be more liberating. And I touched on the point a little bit earlier on to people who might not have felt comfortable in the gym.
Yes.
Because there's also this body type that we always associate yes. with the gym, the bulging muscles, the flat stomach, a particular physique, you know, that is at home at the gym. And then there are other bodies, for instance, that just simply don't seem to be embraced, or that you don't see enough at the gym. And that also could be because people just don't find it accommodating or comfortable enough to be there. So at home, and I'm finding trainers as well online of different shapes, catering for very niche audiences or people with very yeah. specific needs that was never there before.
Absolutely. And I think that's, you know, you've just hit on something that's very, very important and close to, I think, close to the heart of anyone that would like to see everybody moving.
Mm.
If online training and virtual training sees more people take up fitness, you know, from where I sit, it doesn't really matter whether you're inside a Virgin Active or if you're in your lounge with Ali or if you're following a Peloton app, you know, in your garage. I think that's a positive. So if technology encourages us to move, and, you know, a few years ago they were talking about the gamification of fitness and,
yes.
you know, measuring. I mean, this is all, it's fun, you know. So you get this app and you count your steps and you set the goal and next week I'm going to do more steps. So I absolutely agree with you. If technology can bring more people,
mm-hmm.
you know, into the mindset of moving, then that's a good thing. That's a positive thing. And you're right about the niche training. I mean, there's trainers that will, you know, train people with specific comorbidities, you know, such as CISA Academy in the, you know, in the Western Cape.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a program that helps elderly people, people with comorbidities. They've got programs for elite athletes. The fitness niche is an online training in Johannesburg that caters specifically to women only.
Yeah.
You know, so if you find your niche, online can really bring it into your lounge.
I've got a friend who's full of a full-figured woman, and she's always been curious about yoga, but never ever felt that she could go into a yoga studio. But now she found a trainer online whose body is similar to hers, a yoga instructor who has a similar body to hers, and now she's found a community where now she can also do those asanas and take up yoga, something that you could never do before in a gym. So as you say, if it encourages more activity, then everybody wins. Nkumbi says online training is fabulous. I've been doing it since lockdown. At home, it's liberating. I'm enjoying it so much. But Nkumbi, are you using an app? Has your instructor moved online? What exactly are you using? You haven't said anything about apps though, Devlin, because I've never searched for fitness apps as much as I have in recent years.
Azania, that's a very interesting one, because I write a column as well for Business Day, and I think it was about probably about 8 months ago. You know, we were picking up, you know, with all these communications reports coming through, you know, which apps are being downloaded the most. And in the top 10, there were quite a few apps. You know, it was the Nike app. I think Adidas was in there. Strava was definitely there. Peloton was there. There was this big uptake, you know, the downloading of apps, you know, while we were all in that hard lockdown. In this ACSN predictions, apps had only made it to number 12 on the list of trends for 2021. And I think that's a direct result of the pandemic. I make a point in the piece where I say, is this a sign, you know, that this move back towards holistic health is pushing technology to the side, or is this actually just real in-person trainers hoping that tech doesn't disrupt the industry too much? And I don't know the answer to that, but it's very interesting that fitness apps didn't make the top 10 for 2021.
So what has happened then with, if we look at the economics of the fitness industry and the people involved, we've looked at the trends, but clearly it's not happening anymore the way we are, kind of how the model was established before, you know, especially the economic model. The gyms were a big industry. The individuals working in those gyms in the form of trainers, those jobs. What happens? Yes, they were self-employed and, you know, they provided a direct service and so on. But what can you tell us about those? What is the future of gyms?
Look, globally and anecdotally speaking in the industry, a lot of smaller physical gyms have really felt the brunt of the pandemic. And many have closed and will never reopen. Your bigger chains, I believe, are safe. You know, there will always be that environment for people that want to exercise in that environment. But speaking to Jonathan Cherry, who's a futurist, for this article, you know, he brought up something very interesting based on his projections and predictions for the next 10 years. According to him, there's a big concerted move towards holistic fitness, and some would even call it new age thinking, you know, the connecting the mind and connecting the body. So in terms of development and investment, he believes that we'll see a lot of research and development in this space, and that new industries or sub-industries can develop in this space that we haven't even imagined yet. Or maybe they are already in development, but just haven't been made public.
Yeah.
He also points out to tech startups, you know, like this Fitness Ally. They're pulling in the money. They're getting the investment. So this is definitely going to continue. And the big established chains, it's almost certain that in their business plans going forward is some sort of digitization, whether it's an at-home experience as a member of this club, some sort of VIP circle. But they would absolutely, in anybody's business plan in the fitness industry for the next 10 years, be the thought, how are we going to deal with the digitization? Without a doubt.
Yes. Well, Grace has sent us a message saying that I would love to have one of those Peloton bikes that I see on US streams, but price says no. I think I will look for a bike within my means and use VOD videos in future. Those do look amazing. And I love the ones that you can use in your home gym, and then you replace the back wheel, and then off you go with it on the road. Oh,
Absolutely. If only we could afford all of these things. You know, another one, you were talking about shake weight and stuff. Another one that's quite pricey is a Theragun. Did you ever come across the Theragun on Instagram or Twitter or anything like that, Azania?
No.
The Theragun, it's like a little, it's like a drilling machine, right? Except it doesn't drill. It's got a little knob that moves backwards and forwards very fast. It kind of pulses, like really quick. Mm-hmm. And it's for myofascial release, you know, like sports massaging. So they went out to all these influencers like Cristiano Ronaldo, you know, with this beautiful 6'2" body, tanned, and bam, 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 this thing pulsating. And it caused such a stir, you know, about 2/3 of the way through last year, and then gone. And that was, you know, it was well over $1,000 for an original Theragun. So, you know, these things, you know, the prices definitely add up. And, you know, for someone like myself, and this is also interesting, is that if you want to set up a home gym, let's say you're afraid of the pandemic, you know, going into a third wave, or let's say, hold on, I've been training at home and I'm happy training at home. Mm. The cost of setting up a home gym is very exclusive to many people. And it really is an expensive thing to set up, unless you go for the exceptional functional kind of training where you use your bands, your body weight,
get a few weights,
and then you'd want your online trainer to build a program for you and take you through it. So
you're talking about my gym. I have my yoga mat, a couple of weights, a couple of bands, and that's pretty much that. And it does just fine.
Well, fantastic. How do we sign up for membership?
Not taking any at the moment. We're full. Devlin, thank you.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. And thank you for the time.
Absolutely. That's Devlin Brown. He's an active health writer for a number of publications, including The Business Day, just talking about the future of the fitness industry. One person says, I haven't been to gym since March last year. Took up running in April around the garden, then on the road once allowed, in the best shape I've ever been. Wow. Also using Nike Training Club and Chloe Ting's. Ooh, Chloe Ting. She's amazing. Love her. Gym memberships have been cancelled, taking gym fees and building a home gym rather. You are talking my story. Chloe Ting is just amazing. And the Nike training app as well. You can customize your training program based on your height, your needs, your goals. I think it's also been incredibly useful. That's why I was surprised that apps didn't feature as highly as I initially had thought.